Africa 36 billion rand in 2019. This is according to a report entitled The Costly Impact of Gender-Based Violence, Private Sector Perceptions and Realities in South Africa. Online for comment is Professor Corne Davis, Associate Professor Strategic Communication at the University of Johannesburg. Professor Davis, welcome.
Thank you, Shafiq.
This is an interesting focus, that costly impact of gender-based violence, private sector perceptions and realities in South Africa. It's interesting because a lot of the time on the show, we're dealing with public sector perceptions, aren't we?
Correct. And
everybody forgets the private sector, whether it's corruption, GBV or anything else. They seem to always manage to fly under the radar.
Correct.
So you wanted to carry on?
No. In previous studies, you see, nowhere, even internationally, has there been a study done on what the private sector perspectives were. Because if you recall, in the National Strategic Plan, the president called on the private sector 81 times in that document, asking them to take action. But to date, before the study, nobody had asked them what their opinions were, what their perceptions were about their roles and their understanding of the impact of gender-based violence on employees locally and globally. So it was a different perspective. And then we also, of course, did the survey among employees in South Africa across sectors to assess what their awareness was about gender-based violence, what the drivers were, what their recommendations were for what should be done in private sector organizations. So the study was unique.
Yeah, and of course, it doesn't seem as if the private sector is as aware as it should be, that there's a shortfall here, isn't it? I'll put it that way.
Yes, you see, the problem was that it's not that they're unaware. I think the awareness is to the extent to which private sector employees are also part of the 1 out of 3 women or the 7 out of 10 women in South Africa.
Yes.
That they are not only in poor communities, but they are well represented across all sectors of society. That awareness, I think, wasn't blatantly clear. But the way we did the research was engaging. You know, it wasn't questioning. It was more engaging and informing as well as questioning. So it was a conversation with CEOs and leaders in the private sector.
I think because it was a conversation that you've managed to actually draw out, I think, far more interesting data. One of the things you just mentioned now is that I think people need to understand that GBV is not a socioeconomic phenomenon. It's a societal phenomenon across every sector.
Absolutely correct. It's a societal phenomenon because, remember, one of our biggest challenges and why victims don't come forward and why we have a reporting rate as low as maybe 7% is because of the stigma. And who imposes the stigma? It's society that imposes the stigma that makes it impossible for either victims or perpetrators to seek help. That is why it is what you're saying, not just a socioeconomic problem, it's a societal problem indeed.
Yeah, and then also it sort of morphs into a psychological one as well, and I define that by the fact that victims are often, as you correctly point out, 7%, very reluctant to report these instances, and in the private sector it could affect your career. And even if you are a perpetrator, it also affects your career, because if you get exposed, then you could get fired. So it's a thorny question, isn't it?
It is indeed. And that is why we also found, and the stakeholders agree, the participants agree, this is a multi-sectoral, multi-level collaboration. Government on its own, business on its own, NGOs on their own can do nothing. Unless we start working together and collaborate in a way that's not siloed, we won't find solutions. We all need to participate in our way. And that's why I also underscored the role of academics. Do you know how difficult it is to get publications out in mainstream social journals on gender-based violence? It's normally not written into business journals. It's not even included explicitly in corporate social responsibility indices. So the topic has been relegated to somewhere in social work or into law, into public health. but it's not been explicitly addressed as a main social concern. So it's time for us all to realize that we can only fix this if we work together.
It seems like there's a great need for education because as journalists, you know, we see a lot of things, and often people are reflecting behaviors that when you point it out to them that you are actually indulging in a form of gender-based violence, whether it's verbal or whether it's physical, God forbid. But whatever the case is, it is gender-based violence. But some people seem to consider it a cultural or social norm. And when you point it out to them, they actually are sometimes surprised, or sometimes they just get angry with you.
Shafiq, you're absolutely correct. That is one of our key findings among employees particularly, that there's a strong need for education. People really don't understand exactly what gender-based violence is, and that it includes verbal, emotional, and psychological abuse. There was also several of the employees who responded that men also get abused, and that is also underreported, as we know, but it's still a significant number if you look at the total volume, the total number of victims and perpetrators in our country. You know, we marked as a red country in that our stats are 5 times higher than the global average. So there's really a strong need for education to inform, and at all levels, from children upwards. So we need to address it and make information available to all people. For example, Tears Foundation has the Help at Your Fingertips line, and we're going to publish a new report on that as well, that people can see where do all the phone calls come from across the country. It's in from the wealthiest to the poorest, it's in absolute every culture. So it's not confined to any particular culture. You know, I'm a survivor of gender-based violence myself, and I come from a very Afrikaans white community in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
So we've got to change that whole myth in people's minds that it's bound to culture or bound to socioeconomic class. It's not. It's everywhere, literally.
So, I mean, how do we start changing the game, as it were? I mean, every year on air we deal with Women's Month, no problem. The whole of August every year we deal with GBV conferences, seminars, etc. I mean, there's a lot of talk, but there seems to be so little walk. How do we get things to walk?
Yeah, the numbers doesn't change. That is why we approached, collaborated with, you know, in our report, Shared Value Africa Initiative, KPMG, and University of Mid Sweden, and why we are targeting and communicating with the private sector, because that's where you can reach more people. And the message was clear. We need to start reaching out and informing perpetrators as well. It's pointless just focusing on victims and supporting victims if we're not going to say, but we need to address perpetrators, purely because most people weren't born perpetrators. It's a vicious cycle that repeats across generations of behavior that is learned, that is observed. And we need to educate, do case studies, make information available, tell people how prevalent it is, show people where to get support, and then put our money where our mouth is. We need funding. You know, we don't have enough places of safety in South Africa. Where do victims go? And if perpetrators seek help, where do they go? We have got a lack of support structures, and that is what we need to get into place. And if everybody's on board and realize the prevalence of this problem, maybe we can start getting somewhere. This professor who joined us from Sweden, Professor Kustos Kalau, he's an international expert, number one ranked World Health Economist. He's worked in several countries, far poorer countries than South Africa, where there have been success stories. We are learning from him. That's why we sought to collaborate with him, because there are possibilities and there are solutions that work, that he has found that worked. And we want to start implementing those with the support of all sectors in our society.
Now, Professor Davis, I think the point there is, and this comes out profoundly when we talk to experts in different fields of transforming our society, throwing money at a problem doesn't solve the problem. Throw people at a problem, then you will solve it.
At the moment, the progress has not been fast, but there is progress being made. If I look, I'm a member of Pillar 6 in the National Strategic Plan dealing with research and innovation. So we know that there's progress on its way, and you've got a lot more people interested, but be aware, Money is also necessary. It's just how is the money spent and what is the money spent on. The problem is, like I said, where are the places of safety and maintaining places of safety? Other things, no, you can't just throw money at. Look, for example, what is the situation with our courts in South Africa? The conviction rate. We had the sad case, you know, that went viral on social media, the Jaco Swart incident with a very low sentence. That people were, had an outcry on social media, as reported on Carte Blanche. Those are things that, that are systemic errors where systems fail, where our legal system, our police system, those kind of systems, our social worker system. You know that we don't have sufficient social workers. So there are areas where there is money need to be spent. But on the other side, in terms of society, what needs to change is the attitude towards the topic, that we can become less stigmatized so that we can talk about it. At the moment, it's still very difficult to communicate about it for most victims and perpetrators.
Professor Corner Davis, I hope somebody was listening to you. You speak from a basis of knowing what's going on. Gender-based violence in the private sector is costing us billions every single year. And why? Professor Corner Davis, Associate Professor, Strategic Communication at the University of Johannesburg. It's been a pleasure chatting.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Afik. Have a great day.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
This news bulletin is kindly brought to you by Bray's Meat Market.
In your top stories this hour, Stage 2 load shedding might be implemented over the course.